Any disciples of Jesus here? Kind of tough to be one of his disciples, huh? Not too many of us are, really. We'd rather worship him than follow him. Follow his teachings in our lives, but that's another story. I was impressed earlier. I asked Jenna, the psalm we sung in every age was from Abe Marquor, who's at St. Pius. And he reflects the words that were in the first reading in Wisdom, where we're told and we're to understand that we move as swiftly as water in a river, and we vanish as quickly as a dream. And then a few years are given to us, but even the best of them have emptiness and pain. Soon those years will disappear and will be gone. Poof! Here today, you're gone tomorrow. Kind of puts you, who am I? Who am I? Why am I here? And so we can see ourselves in perspective if we can get out of our own little egos and how great we are. And we can see ourselves and pull back in time, and we can see that we're on this beautiful green blue planet that's in the midst of nowhere in space. And in creation, it goes on and on and on and on. And now we're being told by scientists that there's multiple universes, and there's probably lots and lots of planets with other intelligent life. But of course, we're the end of it all, aren't we? We're so arrogant thinking that we're the greatest of God's creation, when there could be so much more. We limit God all the time. But anyhow, why are we here? Why are you here? And if you look at what we're doing to one another in our personal relationships, in our communities, and internationally, it's crazy. And I know that Eckhart Tolle and others who, say that we're certifiably insane species. We kill one another. We destroy one another. We destroy Mother Earth, who gives us life. We have no respect for her. We kill one another. This talk right now of war. War, war, war. When will it end? I remember as a young child, I was very sensitive. And I was concerned about war at a very early age. Even though I was born in 1950, and the war was over, World War II was over, and all of that, but I still was. I always felt so strongly that war was an immense waste of human potential. And I still do. It's still a waste of human potential, isn't it? I would imagine a boy struggling to grow up and then going through all life's trials of growing up and then being sent off to battle and then being shot to death. Or a generation of people working years and years and years to build up a beautiful city and to have it ravaged by one night of bombing and poof, it's gone. How come we human beings haven't gotten tired of these senseless struggles long ago? How come we're still doing them? How come we're still talking about them? I think those who know are saying, we're still adolescent. We're still in the adolescent stage of human growth. We're still in a consciousness level that has not even close to Jesus, that's for sure. But that we need to raise our consciousness, because reality changes when your consciousness changes. And if you can grow in your consciousness, you'll see reality a different way. But I could never understand why people were so drawn to extremist positions. And that's what it is, positions. People take positions, and their concepts even. And they fight over concepts, and they kill over concepts, and they take positions, and they divide one against the other in our dualistic mind, the good and the bad, us against them, all that kind of stuff. But some people take positions that are very strong, one side or the other, and it only leads to conflict, because you got to be right. Forget about loving, just be right, right? I remember reading about how the Israelis fought the Six-Day War. And realizing back then that this kind of conflict had been going on in the Middle East for thousands of years. Thousands of years. Even the Bible tells us of these never-ending wars. And it was so clear to me that one war sets the stage for the next war. Because one act of violence leads to revenge, which leads to revenge for revenge. And so on ad nauseum. And then I remembered growing up, when I was a teenager, I remember how profound statement when I learned Jesus made when he told us, turn the other cheek. Or when he said, resist not evil. Resist not evil. It became obvious to me that conflict, such as we're seeing in the Middle East right now, today, will never stop. It will never stop until someone decides not to seek revenge for what other people have done to them. Someone must break the spiral of violence, and it is a spiral. Violence is a spiral, and somebody's got to stop it somewhere and turn the other cheek and let it end with them, as he did. I'll get to that later. But who's going to start doing that? Obviously, I thought the Christians would start doing that. It was incredible shock to me that growing up that I learned that Christians, our Christian church, our Catholic church, sanctioned a number of wars. And I thought all war was stupid, and I still do. But I thought that Christian wars, crusades, represented the ultimate stupidity. I mean, you can imagine having two groups of people killing each other in the name of God, and God is the same God. I mean, look at Protestants and Catholics. We killed each other. You know, there's different religions on the face of the earth and different understandings and concepts of God. And everybody in this room, there's not any two of us probably that could agree on our concept of God here. But anyhow, God is one. We may view God from a different perspective, but God is one. And the walls that we set up and religion sets up, and Christianity has done a good job at this too, those walls don't reach to heaven. Because the mystics tell us once you get beyond a certain point, then all is one. There is no separation. There is no division between us. People killing people in the name of God is insane to me. Always was. To me, this was simply too much. Someone has to stop this madness. And I think all who call themselves Christians should be among the first to act upon Jesus' words. And yet, what are we doing? What have we been doing? We fight among ourselves for 2,000 years. I'm sorry. But when will we realize that Jesus called us to respond to every situation, whether it's individual or collectively, as a group or a nation even, with love? And that means that we never respond to any situation in our life with violence. And so when will we realize that you cannot overcome violence by committing more violence? Which is precisely what Jesus was trying to tell us 2,000 years ago. It was about time that we pulled this beam from our own eyes and we get to work on ourselves first. And then maybe we can help the rest of the world. But we first have to resist evil. It begins with me and you. My brothers and sisters, to me anyways, I don't know about you, but killing is killing is killing. Violence is violence is violence. And I don't care what kind of violence it is or what kind of killing it is. It's evil. I don't care whether it's conventional means or whether or not it's chemical means. We humans judge evil from a relative point. We don't see the whole thing. We do it from a dualistic consciousness, a way of thinking. We don't judge evil from a unitive consciousness, from a God consciousness. And it's human nature that we fight back when we're attacked. It's what we do. It's part of our animal instinct. It's part of our brain structure, the reptilian brain, part of ourselves. But this violates of a basic tenet of Jesus, which is resist not evil. Jesus' words defy this lower nature of ours and the tribal consciousness that we're in. And he calls us to something greater, to a more human way of being in this world, to a higher state of consciousness, which is known as the unitive or Christ consciousness. But his teachings appear to be too radical for even Christians to live by. How many of us live by the Sermon on the Mount? How many of you even know the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus intended a completely new view of human nature to show us who we can be, to demonstrate it, to model it. And unless we transform ourselves, he tells us, unless you repent, you turn your mind around, metanoia, you change your thinking, we misunderstand him. He wanted to inspire and model a world and a way of being that is in God. It is, I believe, only when we enter into a higher dimension of our own consciousness, into a more mystical realm, which is available to all of us, it's not for just some people, that our human nature can radically change. And it's at the level of the soul. It's not in the mind. So let me say this in end. Seek your own transformation. Nobody can transform you except you. I shouldn't say that. God can, and God's grace can, but you have to be open to it. But you have a lot to say about your own growth and transformation. We need to take the beam out of our own eye first. We need to face our own shadow, because we're shadow and light. That's what we're made up of. If you haven't noticed yourself, there's a shadow in you, there's light in you. But you don't allow hatred and revenge and anger and judgmentalism and resentment or the ego's need for superiority or your need to be separate from others to control your life. And you never transmit evil. You transform it. But as they say, if you don't transform the evil and the negative energy in you, you're going to transmit it outside of you to somebody else. And God help that person. But that's what we do, because we're afraid of it. So, in the end, somebody comes towards you with negativity, like I'm probably going to get after this. I got it already. Be careful what you preach. But anyhow, somebody comes at you with negative energy, what do? You let it go. Go right through you. Don't even allow it to nest or do anything. Whether it's an insult or whether it's a put down or whether it's this or that or anything else, you let it go and don't get attached to it. Once you attach to it, you're going to build up quite a conversation around that, aren't you? And you're going to get back at that SOB. Some way or another, they'll get theirs. But no, Jesus shows us another way. It's one of nonviolence, of forgiveness, and unconditional love. What did he do when he came back? Do you know the story? What happened after he was crucified? He was resurrected, wasn't he? When he was resurrected, what did he do? Did he come back mad and angry, upset, pointing fingers, condemning, judging? You got to read the Bible. He came back and said, peace be with you. Peace. Peace be with you. I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. That's who we're supposed to follow. I want you, when you receive Christ today, to tell him to transform your heart and mind so that you can be who you truly are and who you're created to be. God's beloved sons and daughters. That's who you're created to be. That's who you are. You're bigger than you think you are. You're greater than you think you are. You're more wonderful than you think you are. You're more loved than what you think you are. You are, believe it or not, to be Christ in the flesh today. I hope you never forget that.